You see the Parshin Ayin Gimel. You know what's fun about this Parsha? There's six random Parshios right before the Egel Azov. They really have nothing to do with anything, or so it seems. They go into the Egel Azov. So it starts off. Well, no, in Parsha Kisisa itself, it says the first thing is you got to give a half shekel every time you count yourself, meaning you're not allowed to count the person by person. You can't count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Instead, you count them by the Chatzi Shekel that they give to the Mishkan. That's what you end up doing. Number one. Then it goes into the Kiyur. The Kiyur is the sink, right, where all the Kohanim used to wash their hands. It talks about that with Aaron and everybody else washing their hands. Then it goes into the different spices that they use for the Shemen and Mishka, all those different spices, right, going through everything, including in the very, very beginning, the Mor drawer, right, the Rosh Besamim, all the Besamim in charge. Afterward, it goes into Betzala. At the end of Betzala, it goes into Shabbos a little bit. It says, Achas Shabbosai Tishmoru. Then after Shabbos, then it goes into the Egel Azov. Seemingly, like the most random parshios in the world, until Bnei Yisrael come into the Egel Azov itself. We're not going to go into those parshios, but the Me'ashi Lachs is an unbelievable little thing. Okay, he compares the six parshios before the Egel Azov, the six of them, to the six to the six different questions that a person is asked when he dies and goes up to Shemayim. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Lamed brings down that you're asked six questions when you go up there. The first question you ask is Nasata Nasasa VeNasata BeAmuna. Did you do business with faith in a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Or did you do business just to look for the next buck? So that's the first parsha of Chatzi Shekel. Always look at it as if I have to give tzedakah whenever I have my money that I made. And if you look at it as I'm going to give tzedakah for my money, then you'll be able to do it well. The second question is a sakta the Torah. Were you oathsake in the Torah, which is represented by the kior? The kior has water in it. Water, as we all know, is a representation of Torah. And they used to wash their hands from it, and then they used to go in that made them tahor, that made them more kadosh. That was the second one. Afterward, it goes into the shemen and mishcha that goes and you spread it over everywhere. Well, the third question you're asked when you get up to Shemayim has to do with spreading pru revu. Were you able to have children in order to spread more children throughout the land? And that's the idea of spreading kedusha throughout all the kelim, and that's why we go into that next, and we say that the next part. Then it goes, okay, so all the other questions, meaning everything here, those six parshos have a connection with the six questions that you're asked. That's when it's peaceful Yeshua. Are you looking forward to the Yeshua, to the salvation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do with the Mashiach? And to that we're saying that there's nasaf shchelis v'chelpina. It goes into that, and then it goes into Betzalel and Shabbos, which is supposed to be Chokma and Bina. And if you want to understand that, then you have to know Chassidus, and that's not something that I'm an expert at, so I don't quite understand that fully. But those are the six parshios. Those are the six questions that you're asked. Right when you get up to Shemayim, those are what you're asked. Okay, it seems that the problem with Bnei Yisrael, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, was the fact that they said, Ki zeh Moshe ha'ish, this man Moshe, lo yadanu mehalolo, lo mehayolo. We don't know what happened to him. See, Bnei Yisrael expected Moshe to come down in the middle of the day of the 16th of Tammuz. That's what they expected. 40 days from Zion Sivan, 40 days exactly from Zion Sivan was the 16th of Tammuz. And Moshe Rabbeinu said he'd come back in 40 days. What they didn't know was that Moshe Rabbeinu said 40 days, not including today, when I go up to Shemayim. So 41 days really should have made. I'm really not coming back until Yud Zion Tammuz, Shiva Aser B'Tammuz. But they didn't understand it that way, so they sat there and they looked at themselves and they said, well look, Moshe Ha'ish, this man Moshe Rabbeinu, that brought us up from Mitzrayim, lo yadanu mehayolo. We have no idea what happened to him. Zeh always represents something that you're pointing at. In the beginning of the parsha, it says about the machtzit shekel, zeh yitnu, this is what you must give. And Rashi brings down a famous medrash that Moshe Rabbeinu had no idea what a half shekel would look like. He said, I don't know how you describe a half shekel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way it was described was, I'll make you a golden little thing made of fire, a coin made of fire, put it up in Shemayim, and told Moshe Rabbeinu, zeh yitnu, this, pointing at the coin, this is what Bnei Yisrael has to give. That's what they would have to give. Now that zeh applies by Moshe Rabbeinu as well. That Chazal say through the Medrash that the Satan took the body of Moshe Rabbeinu, put it on top of Har Sinai, and showed them as if he was dead, and said, "Zeh, look at this Moshe Rabbeinu." Right? That's what they ended up saying. But it's more to it, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. The truth is, they thought they knew who Moshe Rabbeinu was. They thought they could point at Moshe and be like, "Oh, that Moshe guy, yeah, that guy over there." They thought thought they knew exactly who he was. But no one had any clue how great Moshe Rabbeinu was and how tremendous of a person he's been. Had they only known, they never would have thought you could make a replacement for him. No one can take over for Moshe Rabbeinu. If you only would have realized the greatness that Moshe Rabbeinu had and what you're missing now that he's gone, you wouldn't have even thought of saying, let's make an egel himself. You would have begged that Kadosh Baruch Hu to bring him back to life. That's what you would have done. You would have immediately said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we can't have anybody else. We need this guy. But because they only looked at him as Zeh, Moshe, Ha'ish, this man, Moshe, he's just a regular Joe. Anybody else could do that. I mean, it's just this guy that we know, that we're so used to, somebody else could take over for him. That wasn't good. That's not the right thing to say about Moshe Rabbeinu. And for that reason, they ended up being messed over so badly. So let's go in. How in the world could Bnei Yisrael have done this? They said, we don't know where Moshe Rabbeinu is. So Aaron, in order to bide his time, right, take a little bit more time, knowing that Moshe Rabbeinu would eventually come down, said, why don't you go get gold from your wives and from your children? They tore gold off their ears and threw it inside the fire. What? I mean, I don't know if you've ever torn gold off your ear before. I'm not so sure. Yeah, you don't have to admit to it now, because I'm not in the mood for guy rings. It's just not, that's fine, right? But I don't think that ever would be fun. I don't think at any point that would be something that I'd want to do or come anywhere close to doing. Tearing off gold off your ears and throwing it inside a fire. But Bnei Yisrael were like, oh my gosh, we have to do it. What were they going so crazy about? What was so nuts that they had to get the gold in right now? And then, number two, I mean, what was going on here? 40 days earlier, they had just been in Har Sinai. Now, I understand people forget things. But this was a massive revelation. You'd think this would have lasted a little bit longer than 40 days. You'd think something would have happened. And I know there's Ramban that's not exactly a Bodhisattva. They needed a leader or something to take over. I understand that concept. It's just very, very strange that what they're trying to do right now. Why in the world did they go so crazy? There's a Gemara in Erevin, Mem Aleph from Ebeis, says, Dikduke Anius. When people get very, very poor, they have no money, and they have no idea what to do with themselves, it does not allow a person to think clearly. When you have no money, and you have no way of getting money, you have no clue what to do, then all of a sudden the greatest, I should say the opposite, the most moronic ideas sound like the greatest ideas in the world. I have an idea. Let's go buy porcelain elephants and try selling them everywhere. No, bad idea. That's not a good idea. That's not a good idea to use your last dollar for. But when you're so poor, you start thinking, oh my gosh, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, that's what happens when somebody has dukia nius. Let's put ourselves in the position of the Jews for right now. Okay, you're in the middle of a massive desert. You have no clue where you are. We know where they were. The Sinai Peninsula. All the way down. Surrounded by the Red Sea, and desert. There's nothing else there. You go north, it's desert. You go west, it's the sea. You go east, it's the sea. You go south, it's the sea. There's nothing else there for days around them. Days around them, there's absolutely nothing. They've been surviving not off food that they had from Mitzrayim. They've been surviving on crazy mun that's been falling from the heavens every single morning, and they're not allowed to leave it over, which means there are no leftovers. There's nothing left. And they all knew that the mun was coming in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu has given them the schus to have them on. And now Moshe Rabbeinu just died. They have no food. No way of getting food. They have no clue where they are. And they have no clue if tomorrow any money is going to fall. They've got children. There's women there. Women obviously can't do anything. There's 3 million people in the middle of the desert. And these guys are sitting there saying, what in the world are we going to do? Where can we go? That's what they were going so crazy about. They had no idea what to do with themselves. And that's what they went so crazy for. Just try thinking about being in a desert without food or drink. And you have no idea how to get out. And then try thinking that your whole family is there. Oh, and there's 3 million people with you. So even if you find like a little oasis, there's no way that's going to last for 3 million people that are together with you. Everyone's going to die. Every single person is going to die. That's what they went so crazy about. When they went to Hur, and Hur said to them, guys, calm down. Moshe Rabbeinu will be back soon. They immediately looked at Hur and said, this is not the time to say, I think Moshe will be back soon. This is Sakanas Nefashos. We're in a desert, it's 137 degrees outside. We're living in little tents, in little clouds. And we're sitting there, and we're expecting this to last tomorrow. And what if it doesn't? What if nothing's here? Then what? The bigger Shomiriam Miriam runs away? The mun doesn't come down? There's no tent to come down to? There's no clouds to surround us? Then what? Now what are we going to do? They took out their swords and they killed Hur. Because who was saying to them, guys, calm down, nothing's going to happen, you'll be perfectly fine. They said, you're trying to kill us. You're trying to kill us. And once you hear somebody is trying to kill you, you go and you kill them. They judged Hur as they would a Rodef, a guy who was chasing after them to kill them. So they went and they killed Hur because they were in such a crazy situation. That's what Aaron said. Aaron told them to gather gold, so it would take up a little bit of time, right? But they didn't want to take up time. That was the whole point. Let's do something now. We need something now. We can't wait a second. So we said, go gather gold, guys. They tore it up their ears and threw it in and said, let's go. Make something. Make something happen. That's why they went so crazy, because they knew they couldn't wait around in a situation like this. And that's what the whole situation was about. Meaning, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, it was simple what their issue was. So simple. And they had no idea how to get out of it. Absolutely no idea what they could do to get out of this situation. And that's why they went so crazy. And maybe not all of them, but a lot of the people started thinking to themselves, what are we going to do? Now, what was the problem with that? What's the issue? The issue was simple. It's a lack of bitachon. You didn't trust in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You have to have that bitachon. And that's the level that Bnei Yisrael should have been on, especially after Har Sinai. Trust him that he's looking out for you. You don't know if the money's going to fall tomorrow, because Moshe Rabbeinu's dead. People, trust him. Even if somebody dies, he's not going to leave you in the middle of the desert to die. It's not going to happen. Now granted, emotionally you don't want to hear that. Emotionally you want to hear, no, everything's going to be okay. No, you have that, oh, thank God I have that savings account. That's what you want to hear. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, don't worry about it. I got this. I'll take care of it. Don't worry. And if they only would have had that bitachon, everything would have been good. That's why Shabbos is put right before this Parsha Vayigal. Because Shabbos is all about trusting God that everything's going to be okay. But how can I not work on Shabbos? How am I going to survive? How am I going to have any money if I don't work on Shabbos? The answer is, you'll be okay. Just trust Him. And if you trust Him, everything will be fine. That's the idea behind Shabbos, the bitachon that's there, and that's the feeling. This was a test around the Egel Azov, the test that Bnei Yisrael unfortunately failed. Let's go into another part of this Egel Azov business, okay? Another part. The Satan, says Rashi, darkened the world. He brought about darkness throughout the world. The 16th of Tammuz. Remember, 16th of Tammuz is what month? I mean, what month? Oh, what English month would that be? Around. 16th of Tammuz. It would be June, July, sometime around then, right? Tammuz? Right around then, June, July. Which means it's summertime in the Sinai Peninsula. There is no rain in the summer in the Sinai Peninsula. Absolutely nothing. When the Satan darkened the world, what did he do? Did he bring about rain clouds? How are there rain clouds in an area where there's never any rain? Never. You don't get rain in this area of the world. So what happened? The Satan darkened the world and showed them a picture of Moshe's coffin. Told them that the darkened world is from Moshe Rabbeinu being dead. And there's confusion. He made confusion. All the people were sitting there and like, well, listen, we don't really believe that Moshe Rabbeinu is dead, but why in the world is the world dark? They couldn't figure it out. It doesn't make any sense. There are no clouds in the middle of the summer around this area. And if there are, they're the white, fluffy kind, right? I think they're called cumulus. Those are the clouds that you get over here. You're not going to get these clouds that are supposed to be rainy, these darkened clouds. This doesn't make any sense. They could not figure out what had happened over here. That's number one. This also, we're going to try to explain now also, why didn't they make Aaron in charge? Wouldn't Aaron have been the likely successor to Moshe Rabbeinu? Yeah, I mean, he's a great guy. Yeah, right? He's full of peace, loves everyone, hugs everyone, and they're like, you're my friend! I mean, that would be a great guy to have once Moshe Rabbeinu's gone and he's not there anymore. So I would think that the next guy in line would be Aaron. That would be the guy in charge. And number three, they said, this man Moshe, who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. This man Moshe who brought us out of Egypt, shouldn't it be this man Moshe who just gave us the Torah? I mean, you always go with like the latest thing that he did, right? I would actually go with the greatest. Wouldn't it be Moshe that gave us the Torah, that allowed us to get the Torah at Har Sinai, that led us at Har Sinai? What were they trying to do with all this? So the Chasam Sofer says, the Jews never really believed that Moshe Rabbeinu was dead. This is an unbelievable Chasam Sofer. They knew that the Erev Rav were crazy magicians from Egypt. And magicians can do wonderful things. Wonderful things. I'm sure there are great magicians in certain areas that are, well, Sodom. You know, Sodom and Amora nowadays, like Las Vegas, that are tremendous. They can do crazy things, and you look at them, and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you just did that. That's fine. I'm sure that Erev Rav had the same abilities. If they weren't real, then they were at least Achiz HaSeinayim. They were able to do sleight of hand to make it look like it was really dark outside. To make them see an image in front of them of Moshe Rabbeinu being dead, the Erev Rav had that power. either do real magic or fake magic. So all of the Jews assumed that they were playing tricks on him. What they couldn't understand was the confusion that reigned. They couldn't understand. So what did happen? Moshe promised he was going to be home, right, on the 16th of Sivan, seemingly, the 40th day, 6 hours into the day. Again, they didn't realize it was really the 41st day, right, 40 full days from when he had went up. They didn't realize that, but he had said, I will be back within the first 6 hours of the day. And then all of a sudden they looked at it and they said, wait, but Moshe's not back yet. So now Bnei Yisrael got confused. And here's the power of the Satan. The darkness was just something for them to be a little bit more confused about, just to add on to their confusion. The picture of Moshe was just a little bit to add on to their confusion. They sat there and they said, how did Moshe mess up like this? Why is he late? I mean, come on. He would know when he's coming down, right? Didn't he say back in Mitzrayim that at midnight exactly that's when Makas Bechoros is going to happen? Didn't he say that? And then they thought to themselves, says the Chassam Sofer, and I said, wait a second. He never said it was going to happen at midnight. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say when he said that there was going to be Makas Bechoros? Kichatzos. And all of a sudden they sat there and they said to themselves, wait a second. Maybe he doesn't know. Maybe he's not exact. Maybe he was just guessing. And he was really good at it. Now, in hindsight, we look at it like, come on, that's ridiculous. But there was such confusion on that day, they started thinking back to what was happening with the Makos, and they're like, you know what? Maybe he was just an awesome meteorologist. Maybe he just knew these crazy little things, and maybe he was pulling a little magic trick on us. Maybe he was. Because as real as it seems at that moment, at Kriyas Yom Suf and Har Sinai, later on things get a little confusing. You realize, you sit there and you're like, yeah, it seemed real at the time, but so did my dream last night. So all of a sudden, you think to yourself, maybe it wasn't the same thing. And Moshe Rabbeinu was wrong, and he didn't have the times right, then maybe Aaron doesn't have the times right. We can't go with a human being. Human beings are fallible. Human beings can mess up. Human beings make mistakes. So let's not go with that. I got an idea. Let's make a tzura. Something that will compare to something on the Kisei HaKavod, the throne of glory of Hashem. We'll make an ox, a little calf, that represents the ox that's on the side of the picture of the Kisei HaKavod, that's on the throne of glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that'll represent, and that's something that will never mess up. Because tzuras don't mess up. And if it has the ability to speak, if it has the ability to do things, even better. And they did it. They pulled it down and they said, this is a great idea. We'll have something that's infallible, that won't be able to mess up because it doesn't have a mind. It doesn't have anything. It's just going to have a direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it'll be able to say something to us. That's what confusion leads you to. And again, everybody's over on the Eagle's off every single day of their lives. Like every single day. You wake up, let's just say, you're supposed to go to a 7:30 chakras, right? And you wake up at 7 o'clock and you sit there and you say to yourself, snooze. Okay, so now it's 7:10. 7:10, right away, I go right off the bat. You get up at 7:10, you sit there and you say to yourself, okay, well, if I go really quickly and get dressed right now, right, and then I get everything ready and I go in my car and everything, then I'll be able to make it just in chakras, just on time. 5 minutes have just passed. Okay, well, if I go now, and now I get up and I get out of bed, then I'll still be able to go at 5 minutes at best. It's now 7:20. You sit there like, oh man, I'm already late. I can't believe I'm late. Why do I keep doing this to myself? I can't believe I'm doing this. 7:23. Well, every single day, the exact same thing. What it is once you get yourself off and running, you just keep going with it. And that's what happened with Bnei Yisrael. The Satan is a smart man. You might think otherwise. Satan's pretty good at what he's doing. He's been doing it for 57, 73 years. And he's been pretty darn good at it. He got Adam and Chava. I mean, he's still doing it even now. And he's able to fool absolutely everyone. And he knows exactly what you need to hear. Exactly what you need to hear. Like in the winter, when you're sitting under the covers, you're like, but it's so warmy. I mean, come on. How can you get out of warmy bed? He knows exactly what you're looking to hear. And all he has to do is throw in a little bit of confusion. Make you think that you're doing the right thing. All right, I'm getting up now. All right, I'm going to get up. I know I'm going to do this now. And then all of a sudden, he got you for another 5 minutes. That's the Satan. That's not your Yetzer Tov. He's getting you in the other way. This is the pshat, that he makes it murky, and that's his power. But you know what's amazing? So the aftermath of the Eagle's off. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down. This is by far. After Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, breaks the luchos, right? By Yom Moshe Aaron, he says to Aaron, Ma osu l'cha amazeh? What did this people do to you? You brought upon them an unbelievable sin. I mean, were they torturing you? What were they doing? Don't be angry, my master. You know these people are from Mitzrayim. You know what it was like in Egypt. These people are crazy back there. And they're all into idols. They're all into doing everything. But what he's really saying is that the Arab were bad people. the Erev Rav that you had brought out, you know these people. You know what they're like. They told us to make for us something because we don't know what happened to Moshe. But Omer Lahem, and I said to them, Lemizahov, he's Torah Kabino Li. Who has gold? Bring it to me. And I threw it into the fire, and this eagle came out. This sounds, excuse the Lashon, because I'm not using the swearing term, but the Lashon is, it sounds very damning on the part of Aaron. Okay? I mean, you couldn't have said anything worse. So I saw the people were real crazy, so I made an idol for them. It's not even like mincing any words. It's not like you're sitting there and saying like, yeah, well, I tried stopping them. It's not even, nothing. It's just like, yeah, you know, they're really bad. They asked for something, and I was like, all right, here, take a golden calf. You couldn't get any worse with your excuse and your ability to get out of something. This could not have been any worse whatsoever. Like, Alan, you really messed yourself over. So what Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron? All right, that's it. You know what? You're unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. From now on, you're the Kohen Gadol. The Kohanim were chosen from this moment on. From the Ego Azov on, they were chosen. Why? Because the B'nai Levi said, Mila Hashem Elai, who's with God? And all B'nai Levi got up and they said, we're with you. And they fought all cups. So the Kohanim were chosen. Hold on. Aaron made the Ego Azov, right? B'nai Levi didn't do anything to the Ego Azov. So Moshe Rabbeinu looks at them and says, Levi, you guys are Levium. Aaron, Kohen, Gadol. Something's wrong. Something's up. Where did that reward come from? How in the world could he be rewarded with something that just doesn't make any sense at all? You know what's even crazier? You've all done Malachi, I would assume, right? Everybody's done Malachi here? Good. In Perek Beis, Pasuk Zion, it says, Ki Ravim Heshiv Me'avon. He stopped a lot of people from doing sins. He did what? Aaron did what? He didn't stop people from doing sins. He made the sin. That's exactly what he did. How in the world can you say about Aaron? It's so strange. Chassam Sofer asked this question. What happened? This is unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable the way Chassam Sofer looks at the Torah. Because he looks at it with glasses that are not human glasses. He looks at it with glasses that are like full of, I don't know, absolutely chairs and tables. And he like throws them on and like puts them on. And he's just like, okay, I've got a totally different board for you. Aaron looked at the whole situation and said, what happens if the Israel themselves try to start their own Avodah Zarah? What happens if the Erev Rav make an Avodah Zarah? What's going to happen? Well, there's going to be people like the B'nai Levi who are going to get up and say, what the heck are you guys doing? What are you doing? Why would you do this? To which the other people will say, well, we're making an idol because we don't know where Moshe Rabbeinu is. To which they'll say, like, pull out their sword, stop it right now. To which they pull out their sword, don't cut down our idol. That would have started a war. Then all of a sudden, there would have been B'nai Levi and some of the good people against all the other people in Klal Yisrael or anybody else who was with the Ego Azov. Some people watching on the side eating their popcorn, being like, that's so crazy. Some people like that. And there would have been a huge, massive civil war with the Erev Rav sitting there and dancing in the middle, and everything would have happened. Guys, wars, you can't get out of. When there's wars and battles, there's nothing that can be done. Nothing good can happen from such a situation. There's nothing that can happen from that. So what did Aaron do? The Ori of Shalom, Rodi of Shalom. The man of peace. What did he do? He said, I'll make the ego. I did it so that they wouldn't do it. Why'd I do it? Because then nobody would fight. Because everybody would say, well, Aaron must know what he's doing. I'll do it. I'll take on the hate for myself. It's me. I'm willing to do it. The Rabim Heshiv Me'avon. He stopped them from doing a tremendous sin, and he did it himself. He allowed it to happen. Of course, he never expected it to happen this quickly. The golden calf, I don't know if you guys have ever smelted gold before. Three times, each time. It took a long time. I can't imagine that melting down gold and turning it into a little ego is going to take less than a couple hours. But for Aaron, it just came out. He didn't expect it to be that soon, but it happened. All he wanted was to keep the peace. Why would he want to keep the peace? That when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down and everybody is peaceful with one another, they know something's up with Aaron, they just couldn't figure it out what. As soon as Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, he'll immediately look at everybody and be like, what is wrong with all of you? And all the people will be like, yeah, we feel kind of dumb now. That's what he knew would happen. Meanwhile, if there was a fight, if there was a war between each other, they were fighting each other, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, everybody's emotionally charged. Everybody's emotionally charged. The B'nai Levi are going to be screaming, Moshe, kill them! The people are going to be screaming, they were trying to kill us! There's going to be people screaming at one another, Moshe Rabbeinu is never going to be able to make peace! Said Aaron, I'll take on the chait, nobody will fight, Moshe will come down, and everything will be taken care of. And that's what he was telling Moshe Rabbeinu. I did it. in order to make sure they didn't. And that's what he was trying to say. When he therefore took on everything for himself, he's the one who did everything by himself, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Aaron, you deserve to be the Kohen Gadol. You took on the sin for everybody else, and he did that. Said Moshe Rabbeinu, you deserve to be the Kohen Gadol. That's why. And the very first time that Aaron tried to bring a korban, the Mizbeach sprouted horns of an eagle, horns of a calf. And Aaron stood back. He said, Oy vey. He didn't want to go anywhere near it. Did not want to go anywhere near it. Why? Because he said, that reminds me of my sin. To which Moshe Rabbeinu said to him, Aaron, lakach nivcharta. This is why you were chosen. Go sacrifice. Set over, that's shots. The only reason why you're chosen as Kohen Gadol is because of the Egel. Because you took the sin on for yourself and you allowed them to make peace with each other. You made it happen. It's because of you. That's why you were chosen. It's a good thing that there are eagle horns on top of the Mizbeach. That's why you're here. Isn't that an unbelievable little vort? That's a vort that you can say over your kids and be like, wow, the Chasam Sofer was not human. He was absolutely not human. That is an idea that's out over there. We're going to say over one thing over here. Let's say it like this. The Mashiach, the Ishbitzer, okay? You don't get better than the Ishbitzer. What a chassid. When you get to chassidim, they're absolutely awesome. You know what? Let's do this one first. Let's start with this one. We all know the 13 meters of Rachlin. Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, Mechanim. Let's go through those for a second. Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is Midas Arachamim. Yud Kei Vav Kei, Midas Arachamim. El is supposed to be Midas Arachamim. Rachum, merciful. Chanun, gracious. Erech Apayim, length and anger. Verav Chesed, a lot of Chesed. The Emes. Whoa, dude. What does Emes mean? Truth. Which means what? That if you deserve a punishment, you get a punishment. Since when is that one of the Midos HaRachamim? How is MS a good thing? And this is the opposite. That's what you don't want. You want a Kadosh Baruch Hu to not punish you the way you should be punished. You want the opposite. You want the Rachamim, the Kanun, everything else. And you go on. That's pretty good. No say avon, he forgives sins, but fashad the chatov, and he cleanses out everything. All those are good. MS is so strange. What's it doing in there? Why is that there? Unbelievable, isn't it? Why would that be there? It's just a very, very, very strange thing to put inside there. Very, very strange thing. Okay, so what's Pshat? Why is Emes inside there? Says the Ksav Sofer, the Chasam Sofer son. A tzaddik understands that Hashem does not punish him immediately when he does something wrong. I don't know if any of you have done this. I have not. But I've heard from other people who did it twice, who on Shabbos wanted a test. So they went up to the light switch, turned it off, turned it off, and they saw they weren't punished. And they said, like, oh, I see that God doesn't punish you. Why doesn't God punish you immediately when you do a sin? What's the point? Why is there Erech HaPayim? What is the point of lengthening God's anger so you're not punished immediately? What's the shot, guys? The what? That's for sure true. But there's even more to it than just that. Both of you are saying the exact same answer. It takes away your behavior, you're not going to sin, right? Because you'll be punished immediately after doing it. That's true. I would argue that people would still sin. You see people do really, really dumb things, even though they know they're going to be punished afterward. People would still sin. I would argue that point, but it's still not the full answer of Erech HaPayim.
Because I think a lot of times people, even if they do something bad, Hashem will send them a clear sign saying, like, you know, hey, idiot, stop doing something so stupid, but yet you just ignore it.
So hold on. But Erech HaPayim is he lengthens his anger and he doesn't send that sign. So why not? Why wouldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu send that sign? Because he wants him to do tshuva on his own. That's the reason why. He wants you to do tshuva on his own. He wants you to think about what you just did and consider it and do it. Now, tzaddikim understand that. And if a tzaddik sins and isn't punished immediately, he realizes, you know, even though I wasn't punished, I still did something dumb. I still have to work on myself. So he does think that to himself, and he does say to himself, okay, I've got to do something, and he still does tshuva. But what about a rasha? When a rasha doesn't get punished immediately, what does the rasha think? The world is after. God doesn't care. There is no God. The world has no din, no dying, and there's nothing else out there. So what's better for the Russia? Is it better for the Russia to not be punished for his sin immediately? Or is it better for the Russia to be punished for his sin immediately to realize that he had done something wrong? For him, you have to punish him right then. Here's the pshat, guys. Sometimes MS can be rachamim. Because for certain people who would go off if they realize they're not being punished for what they're doing, then God gets involved and punishes them immediately for their sins. That's what it means by emes. Emes is there for the people that need it, and erech ha'payim is there for the people that need that. Emes is there only for those rishayim who know that it's better for them to end up having that. So sometimes it can be mercifully. Sometimes God has to resort to emes to solve a problem with an evil person. That's that.
That also means for two different situations for the same person.
Yeah, 100%. It can. Yeah, the same person could exactly have it. Sometimes you're in the tzaddik mood, sometimes you're in the rasha mood. And depending on where you are holding at that moment, you could both have, you could have MS and well chesed very quickly. Okay? I'm going to give you a little bit of a muscle for over here. One last thing regarding the Egel Azov. After the Egel Azov was over, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu that you were going to have an angel. And wherever you go, you're going to have this angel with you. He's going to be the one in charge. Either he's going to be Metat, Metatron, remember him, right? Not Megatron, Metatron. Right? Now let's say his full name in Hebrew, it's Metat, and then the end of it is Ron, right? The other one, right, it might have been Michoel. Both of them are Merames too, and Moshe Rabbeinu's name, by the way. Moshe, Mem Shin Hei, is Michoel, Sar, Michoel, Sar HaGadol, that's him. And Metat is Metat Sar HaPanim. Okay, the first letters of each word is Moshe Rabbeinu, right? But Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, I don't want a Malach. I want a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I want a Kadosh Baruch Hu to be with us himself. I don't want just a Malach to take care of us. God should be the one in charge. Moshe is the Gematria of 345. The Gematria of El Shaddai. Aleph Lamed Shin Dalet Yud is also 345. He said, I want a Kadosh Baruch Hu to be with us the entire time. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu was Maskim at the very end of the day. Hold on a second. Back in Parshas Mishpatim, Moshe Rabbeinu was told in Shishi, I'm going to send my Malach with you. And Moshe Rabbeinu did not say a thing. He agrees with it. He's fine with it. He doesn't say anything whatsoever. Here, all of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu was told, I'm going to send you a Malach. And Moshe's like, no way. That's not happening. I don't want a Malach. You come with us. If your face doesn't come with us, then don't bring us up. We don't want anything. What changed? From before the eagle to after the eagle. Before the eagle, we can have a Malach. After the eagle, we can't have a Malach. What's the difference between them? A Marshal. This is from the Mashal of the Ishbitzer. A father wanted to spend tons of time with his only son. So what did he do? He had work to do. But he kept coming home to see how he was doing. Check if he needed anything. To make sure he had food and drink and everything. If he couldn't go for whatever reason, right, if he couldn't go himself, then he made sure to send someone else in his place. Someone else would go and check on his son. And even though he wouldn't be there that day, the son knew that it was still his father sending somebody to make sure the person would go. One time, the son was upset with his father. Whatever, you know, it happens. Talked back to his father, telling him he couldn't stand seeing him every day. You gotta stop this. I can't see you every day. I don't want to do this anymore. That made the father very upset. So the father told his son how disappointed he was, and that he thought that this would be a good time for him to go on a certain business trip that he's been neglecting for a long time. He said, I'll be gone for a couple months, right? And don't worry, I'll still send somebody. Somebody will be there and he'll take care of you, but I can't be here. Not during this time. I don't want to bother you anymore. That's what he said to the son. Son immediately realized what his mistake was. He realized that he really wanted his father, that he loved the fact that his father kept asking about him and finding out where he was and everything like that. So he got upset. He said to his father, please, no, forget about, I don't want anybody else. I just want you to come. Please don't go on the business trip. You stay with me. I'd rather hear from you rather than from anybody else. That's the mashal. I don't know if you guys got that. It wasn't so deep because I made it on myself. Before the Jews sinned, right? Before the Jews sinned, Moshe Rabbeinu understood that God was treating the Jews in the best way. And everything they needed was given to them. They weren't worried if an angel would be with them because they knew that the angel would be doing exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to do. And that was it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there. The Malach was just going along for the ride. It really was just coming straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth down to Bnei Yisrael, and God wouldn't want to miss a second of being together with his only son, Bnei Yisrael. He wouldn't. So therefore they knew that the Malach would only be good. But after the sin, they realized that the Malach would basically be on his own. It wouldn't be direct commands from God to the Malach to help them. It would be the Malach, so to speak, deciding what to do, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, going along with the ride, like he does by the other nations. Where the Malach makes decisions, so to speak, on their own. I'm trying not to say it in Avodah Zarah terms, okay? But the Malach, so to speak, makes these decisions sort of on his own, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu allows those decisions to be made, rather than a Kadosh Baruch Hu being directly involved with the people that are there. That's what the Bnei Yisrael didn't want. They wanted a Kadosh Baruch Hu directly. They didn't want him without being indirectly involved or even not involved whatsoever, letting a Malach decide all their fates. No, we want a Kadosh Baruch Hu directly. And that's why they begged Hashem to reconsider. That's the difference between a Malach before the Chet and now the Malach after the Chet. The Malach before was with a Kadosh Baruch Hu and the power of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. This Malach was by himself to rule over them the same way that all the nations of the world have their own Malach. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu would be indirectly involved, but it would be in a level of Hester upon him, which is what we're in right now. That would be the concept of what it would be. And that's Moshe Rabbeinu did not want, and that's why Moshe was begged for. Let's stop with that, guys. Have a great Shabbos.